This podcast is funded in part through support from the Endowment and Development Fund of the International Brotherhood of Magicians. Thank you so much for helping us out, you guys. We really appreciate it. Back to the podcast.
Three, two, one.
It's Shazam!
Christmas special, holiday special. Yay! You're so special. The podcast that hopes to make itself obsolete and also celebrate the holidays.
This is the worst intro we've done.
Should we do it again?
No, keep it. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Who are you? And I'm Carissa. And it's Christmas season, so everything's all over the place. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Woohoo! Happy holidays, Kayla.
Thank you. You too, Carissa.
Thank you. What do you celebrate? Do you celebrate Christmas?
So I particularly celebrate Christmas, and then Harrison, my partner, celebrates Hanukkah, and so we kind of cross-celebrate both, so which is really fun. So on Christmas, our Christmas tradition is we will order Chinese food and watch White Christmas, the old Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney film that will never ever get old, regardless of its misogyny and slight racism, and also the fact that Alaska was not a state when it was filmed. The best line in the entire movie of White Christmas is when the two sisters are talking to each other, and Rosemary Clooney's character says he's been out of the country for 3 months, mm-hmm. and you're like, what is this movie? And it's on Netflix, and I'm going to watch it. I've already watched it twice in the month of December, and it will happen at least two more times before Christmas is over. I'm a sucker for a good Christmas
feeling. That's so cute.
Well, how about you, Carissa? What are you doing?
So I have grew up celebrating Christmas, but because I got into entertainment at 16, Christmas has always been a lot of work and exhausting, and so very quickly my Christmas tradition became my dad and I go for Chinese food, and then I watch Die Hard alone, and it's my favorite thing. But this year I will be in LA looking after your puppy Bowie, so my plan is to spend Christmas morning with Bowie. I bought him a bunch of presents, and I'm gonna wrap them and watch him open them. I cannot wait. And then I'm gonna go watch Die Hard in the theater with some other magicians instead of my dad.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think I will order Chinese food and like Skype eat with him, maybe. That sounds adorable. Aww. I'll maybe do that. But so for me, like, because Christmas is a season for working my butt off, I don't have a lot of strong, like, Christmas is for family feelings, to the chagrin of my mother, grandparents, and everyone that lives in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. Sorry, guys. Heaps. Oops. Yeah. So I mean, Christmas is great, but I think that entertainers, in my experience, have a different relationship with it than, let's say, lay people.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's the same with sort of our relationship with weekends.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, everyone's like, I hate Mondays. And you and I are like, Mondays are great. It's a time to catch up on the emails we didn't answer over the weekend because we were gigging. Mm-hmm. It's still work, you know, being entertainers. You don't have a day off unless you really decide you want one. And that's rare. But yeah, it'll be – so for me, this year I'll be on tour with the show, and – Christmas is, I think, is going to be a little bit extra special because, one, Harrison is coming out to spend it with us in Toronto, but two, I didn't have a big family growing up, so Christmas was always like just me and my parents. I have no siblings, and like maybe my cousins would come over, but they had their own, you know, parents and family to be with anyway, so it was always really small. So this is sort of my first experience with a big family Christmas, and it might be my touring family, but it is everybody. So we've done like a Secret Santa where we've all spent the last month preparing gifts for each other.
Ugh, you're so cute.
It is a little nauseating. I'm not gonna lie, but
I barf all over myself.
As you should. I have done that multiple times. But it's actually, I'm very excited about it because it's something that I haven't experienced before. So I'm really looking forward to it. And it will be a rare day off, actual Christmas Day. We have shows Christmas Eve and the day after, but Christmas Day will be really fun because we're just going to – I bought a Christmas onesie. I don't know where it is. It lights up. It's got a reindeer on it.
Oh, that's so
cute. Bought
it
at Walmart.
You
that's
have
gonna,
to post
I'm
a picture
that
of that on the Instagram on Christmas.
Of course I will. Are you kidding? I just
that's
so
cute.
Anytime there's a light-up onesie jumpsuit going on, I am in it and ready to go.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, so Walmart. So great. It's going to be wonderful. And also, Bowie will love unwrapping his gifts. He, like, has a knack for just naturally unwrapping stuff. So he's going to be really excited.
I'm so excited. I did a bunch of research into, like, the best way to wrap the present so that it takes him a while, but also he can definitely get to it. And I got different things, but I got him too much because everything for large dogs comes in packs of six. So my plan is to like hide the rest of them in your closet somewhere and you can give them to him throughout the year, but I'll just give him like one of everything I got because that seems more efficient. I don't know.
He's going to be so happy.
I think he's going to be overwhelmed because he's going to be like, why did you get me so much crap?
He's a pig, so he'll eat it quickly and be very pleased.
Okay, good. All right. Excellent.
I love it. So we could talk forever about my dog. Yeah. And we usually do.
How can you tell it's holiday season? We're both talking about Bowie, but we both haven't seen him in a while, so that's what it is.
I know. I miss his big head.
I miss his everything. So what we wanted to talk about for the holiday episode is a couple of things. One, we've been doing – well, Kayla has been doing – this amazing holiday giveaway over the last little bit. So make sure to get onto the Instagram and onto Facebook and play one of our 12 Days of Shazam games to win some swag because we are about to release a whole bunch of Shazam swag. You guys have been all but begging for it for the last 6 months, so we designed some stuff. We have like a classic Shazam shirt. We have some stuff with some fun slogans. I think my favorite one is, first I do the card tricks, then I smash the patriarchy. I like that one a lot. But we came up with a whole bunch of different ones, and so you should go and check it out on the website, which I will have them up by the time this comes out, and then people can take a look at them and see if they want to buy one. Or if you don't want to spend your money and you just want to win one, go play one of the 12 Days of Shazam games and we will send you one for free.
Yes, and you can play every single day except yesterday because I forgot to post one. But play all of them and your chances are higher. But it's just fun. We just want to engage with everybody and see where everybody's mind is at as well in terms of like how they're viewing us and the podcast. But also it's just fun. And we're very excited to be launching a merchandise line. Do you remember when we thought this was going to be a 5-episode thing?
Do you remember when it was just like a bunch of barely audible voice memos?
I do. And I saved all of those, by the way, and they will come back. We're going to air those one day.
Yeah, maybe for our 100th episode or something.
Oh, that'd be so fun. Good idea. Let's write that down.
Okay, we'll put it in the notes.
Done. And so, yes, so we have a lot coming up, but I don't know where I was going with that, but
we're going to talk today about holiday season.
No transition.
I am transitioning for you. I'm amazing at this. We're going to talk about holiday seasons for entertainers. Because when you're in entertainment and you're working a lot, Christmas is just different. Your Christmas season starts mid-November, usually, and it goes into mid-January. And you're usually doing, you know, a show every day of every weekend, some midday shows, sometimes more than one show a day. There was a day last week where Jeff was with me doing still walking because I've trained him up on still walking. He's very good. And we did a 6-hour still walking gig in Calgary.
Jeez.
Drove 4 hours to Edmonton so I could do 3 hours of walk around magic and then drove back to the city because I had 2 shows the next day. And that is not the like even the craziest day I've ever had in Christmas season times. I mean, Andre and I drove up to Cold Lake last year and ran out of gas and almost died in the cold. So I didn't almost die this year, so it's fine. So we want to talk about kind of things that we've learned over the process of the last 10 years of doing the high season, the Christmas season. So yes, our holiday episode is how to do gigs on Christmas. But I think, honestly, based on our listenership, how seriously you take stuff, and how many people who work for us really do magic as a career, I think a lot of this will be very helpful.
Do you want to start with just like, how do we start booking stuff for the holiday season?
It's going to really depend on what market you're in, the way that you set up your Christmas season. In Calgary, I find that we start booking our season earlier and earlier every year. In fact, we just this week booked 3 events for next year from return clients from this year. So one of the things that we do that's been very effective is at the end of the season, we just send out a nice email saying thank you. And, you know, if you want to lock in your day for next year, you can do that without paying your deposit until September, and we'll still lock in the day. And a lot of people take us up on that and they lock in the day. And we very rarely have people cancel on us, because in September we get a hold of them and we go, hey, here's the details. This is what we've got set up for you. Here's your information on how to pay your deposit. And we've never had anyone not pay their deposit for that or jump in, unless there's been like a huge catastrophe where the company doesn't exist anymore. So it's been very effective. But for the most part, we do a lot of our holiday booking in August and September. That's when companies start thinking about it. We start putting together our packages, and then it really ramps up at the end of September, early October. And usually by the first week of November, what we're doing for Christmas is already locked in. So I can plan and make things work around that, which is nice, because if you have that kind of lead time, you can be a little bit more careful about, planning your energy levels. A lot of the time for me when it comes to Christmas season, because I also do still walking and a few other things, I usually have to build a couple of custom characters. I'm usually doing a couple of custom things for shows or for like CEO productions or things. And I want to be able to look at my schedule a little bit of a ways out and put in all of those build times so that I'm not too overwhelmed when it comes to the day. How do you book your Christmas season, Kayla, typically when you're not on tour?
Like going back into the reality that is being a self-employed entertainer, because right now I'm living the dream where I don't have to do any of that. So going back into like how I used to do it is, the repeat client is really what got me for all holiday seasons, is that if I did one, talking like go back 6 years ago, I did one client, and then that client, I booked them again for the next season, and then they recommended me to 2. And then that just builds off pyramid scheme wise in a sense. And that's always how it worked for me. And I was just very lucky to, I never really had to do any cold calls or cold emails or any of that. I tried, and I just really was terrible at it. So I didn't get much success. I think we've spoken about this before, but when I had to move different cities, I hopped onto the Gig Masters, Gig Salads of the internet, which I hated doing. And I just don't like the format that Gig Masters and Gig Salads set up, with the idea of like constantly bidding a lower price for entertainment. But I was able to, negotiate on there by saying like, this is my fee, I'm not going to come down, but here's why it should cost this much. And I did get a lot of work from that. But what would happen when I would be at a gig, and this was really the big thing for me, is that while I was at the gig, as soon as I saw somebody was like really interested, I would hone in on them really hardcore, because chances are that at that gig, they were from another company that was having their Christmas party the next night or the night after. Mm. And so what would end up happening is, just from one event, I would book anywhere from 2 to 10 other gigs just out of it. Like I rarely didn't book anything out of the one. It was just people would see it and go, I didn't even think about hiring entertainment for my event. Oh my God, it is in 3 days. Are you available in 3 days? I booked a lot that way. So it was just a lot about like making sure that I was being seen in the right way, and people could see the value that is magic at a holiday event. Just word of mouth was always really huge for me.
Yeah.
I was lucky to never have to do any of the like terrible business things I'm bad at, like the cold calls and everything. It was just that word of mouth is like at the actual event, really making sure that my value was seen by other people.
Yeah. And also, I mean, if you really want to go aggressive with that, which sometimes you do for kids shows, a version of that that is a little bit more aggressive that we do for our holiday kids show is that if at the end of a show a client goes, and this is, I did two kids magic show, my new holiday magic show yesterday, and both of the clients were like, you're amazing, we'll recommend you to all our friends. And only in that occasion, I don't push this unless they say that. I go, oh, that's great. You know, you get $50 towards your next event every time you somebody books based on your recommendation. And they go, oh. So I'm like, yeah, just tell them to say they sent you and we'll put that onto your client profile on our CRM. And they're like, great. So with the first show I did yesterday, it went really well. It was really, really fun. Both of the shows were pre-shows for Santa, basically, which is my favorite way to do my show. And but Santa was a little bit late, so I ended up like vamping an extra 10 minutes. And I think that's part of what she loved the most was that I was like, oh, I'll just get the kids to sing holiday songs, and I'll do this thing with the puppet, and I do this thing where if Santa's coming, where I'm like, you know, I get the kids to guess what's happening, and I'm like, oh, you know what? Santa only comes if he thinks you're sleeping. Everyone pretend to sleep, and then I have a whole room full of kids like pretend to sleep, and I go, this isn't convincing. You have to snore, and so then they, and it was so funny, and that's all amazing. The parents had their cameras out filming the kids snoring, and then finally Santa came out. It was super, super cute.
Really great. Yes. That's amazing.
So that kind of thing.
If you push, oftentimes, like, especially if I have repeat clients, they all know, because usually in the follow-up email that I send them, which is the next day, is I say, hey, thank you again so much for having me. This was great. I loved these couple of things that happened at your event, making sure that it's very personal, and then say, as well, if you know anybody this season that needs an entertainer, just as a reminder, if you recommend me and it's booked, blah, blah, blah. The wording is, I don't remember. But if I book an event this season from you, then you get money off for next year. And then inevitably at least one, maybe two come through. And you can – when we were at peak holiday performance season, I mean, we were doing – I was doing anywhere between 2 and 3 corporate shows a day, which was really beneficial, obviously.
That's about right.
And then also you have in LA at least, and I know that this isn't the same everywhere, but in LA, the house party, or I call it the backyard party, those are so popular. And that's the one that really you get from people seeing you. Because you just don't think about like, oh, I'm having my family come over. There's going to be 30 people. What are we going to do for 5 hours? Oh my gosh, I just saw entertainment here. Let me bring you in. And that's really amazing. So that's where I got a lot of the bookings from. It's just going into people's like Malibu backyards and Beverly Hills and the Hollywood Hills and all of that. And like, you know, going in and entertaining their guests for the holiday season, that was huge. So that's a special market that exists in Los Angeles. It's just the really wealthy person that wants to have their company party or their family party, and they need to have entertainment. So that was always a really good one to sort of bounce around and get booked to.
Yeah. The big thing here that's sort of our version of that is the companies that have between 20 and 50 employees, they tend to have Christmas parties that don't have entertainment. But we've specifically been working that market and targeting that market for a long time. And we have three different shows from three different entertainers that can work in that market so that, you know, basically your show can play on the floor in basically just a big open space. It's very intimate. You don't need a lot of gear. You don't need lights. You bring your own sound system. Basically a street show, but for corporate. That's a market that we built out over the last 6 years that now – you know, I'll be honest, I didn't do a ton of promotion this year because I was on the road a lot, and we still had a really solid Christmas season because we have so much repeat business, especially from that clientele, that it's been really nice. And I've grown with certain companies. There's a couple of companies that when I started doing shows for them, they were 25 people, and now they're 350 people. And that's sort of fun. Great. Yeah, because they've seen my show evolve, and I've seen their company evolve over the years. And so having the repeat business and making sure that you stay connected to those clients throughout the year, just here and there, just reminding them, you know, oh, you know, just a reminder that I'm here. And in September, we usually do send out a little mailer, like a little email or even just a phone call that says, hey, these are the artists we're bringing in, because sometimes we bring in artists from out of town for the Christmas season and we like to promote them, or somebody will have a new show. Like I know Miranda Allen, who lives in Edmonton. She's an escape artist and she's been working on this really killer Christmas show. And I really want to, you know, I know next year she's got Christmas available because she's not going to be doing this medieval feast show that we've both done over the last couple of years. So she'll have all her holidays. So we'll definitely put her on that thing because our clients won't know her. So we'll be able to be like, oh, this is the new thing. This is the shiny new thing. You want the shiny new thing? And people tend to want the shiny new thing.
Yeah, that's great. I as well, with the like keeping in contact with people throughout the year, one of the big ones is I always send out a daylight savings time reminder.
That's awesome.
And so, right, so I have like a, I don't remember, this was not originally my idea, and I apologize, I don't remember who I learned this from, but basically somebody, I was listening to a lecture at a convention, and somebody said, these are ideas for follow-up emails, you know, keeping in touch with your clients throughout the year. One is I try to remember special days in the client's year. So like if it's their birthday, if I can somehow find out when their birthday is without being creepy, I try to send out some sort of, it's in my calendar, like I'll try to send the repeat clients something like that. Or if I'm ever in somebody's area, I'm quick to say, hey, I'm in your area. Do you want to grab a cup of coffee? Or even just saying, I'm in your area and you're not available for coffee, no worries, but I just want to say hi. Even just like keeping top of mind. But the daylight savings ones are really fun because I make a, like Photoshop a really funny photo of me holding a clock.
Oh, that's brilliant. Like, I'm going to definitely do that.
Please do. I mean, everybody steal it. This is for you, for your information.
That's great.
But that was always fun because it was twice a year that I could send something kind of goofy and just be like, hey, as a reminder. And nowhere in there does it go, and also, if you need bookings, it's just about you seeing my face and remembering how much fun you had.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I love doing those. Like, those were kind of fun to come up with. It's like, why should I email you today? In fact, I just had a woman I've worked for, I or somebody through me has worked for her company party in Las Vegas for the last 5 years. I met her over Gig Salad. I have gone back, or somebody through Magic and Heels has gone back every year. And she came to visit the Champions of, I couldn't do the event this year because of the tour. And I gave her comp tickets for her and her husband to the Champions of Magic show.
That's so nice.
And so she came out and was still able, and in the meet and greet of our show, she comes over, gives me a big hug. How are you? It's so good to see you. And then she goes, book, make sure, put this in your calendar right now, this date. I understand if you're doing this tour, this is more, that the tour is more important, but come back because this is the date we want you. So already I've got a booking for next year.
That's so
just great. Because I contacted her and said, I'm going to be in your town. So it's just like that genuine feeling of friendship, I think, is always really lovely to like put into emails and, you know, remember people. And I love doing that stuff.
Well, and this is the kind of thing that is, you know, that this is going to sound so weird, but this is like the woman's touch thing, is that often I'll read marketing material written by men for men, and they feel very aggressive. There's sort of this aggressive tone to them. I prefer to try to not sell anyone something or do any kind of sales call unless I have something of value to offer them. So
Yes. When
we do our follow-ups from Christmas and say, do you want to lock in the date next year? The offer is always, you can get this year's prices locked in for next year if you secure this now, and you don't even have to pay your deposit until September, but there's no pressure. Or you could just opt to get in contact in September, but we can't guarantee these prices from this year. And so it's framed as doing them a favor. When we send out the email in September, it's very much, hey, just a quick reminder that, you know, this is when holiday season starts booking up. These are the new things that we have for your information. We just want you to know. Again, trying to be helpful and really not trying to be like aggressive about it, just more friendly, more about like personal interaction and kindness and generosity and constantly providing value and trying to find, you know, trying to be useful in ways. Because I know for me, when I get an email that says, buy this thing, and it feels aggressive, I'm instantly like, no, I don't want to buy your thing. And because what we're selling is entertainment, this is a thing my company has ran on for the last 5 years. This was a thing we put like in the policies and procedures, is that we're an entertainment company. So every single element of interacting with us should be entertaining. There should be something playful in every email. There should be something fun or silly Or like even the photos we send out when we do like our lock the dates in, they're all these silly photos we did from this photo shoot where we're being dorks, or you know, or we're like drinking Tim Hortons coffee and we're like half asleep. We're like, Christmas season's over, and we're like passed on the table because people like that. People want to get to know you. This is a very personable business. You're selling yourself, and so the more that you can be likable and interesting, I think it's a little bit more valuable rather than just using the marketing strategies that a lot of marketing books sort of push. Those are maybe not going to be always quite as effective for entertainment just because it is a reputation-based industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And people are very quick to want to book their friends and help their friends out versus just book whomever. They also want to book somebody that they trust and love. And so it's easy. It's much easier if you can come at it from that perspective of just being like, hey, buddy.
Exactly.
Remember when you wrote me a check last year? Remember all the fun we had with that moment?
That was so fun.
Let's do that again.
Let's do it. So you don't need to help with your bookings. You've got 1,000 gajillion bookings, and that's not the issue. Let's say then of course the issue is going to be scheduling. And over the last couple years, probably last 5 years, I've tried every different scheduling app or unit. I've done everything. I'm obsessed with efficiency. And a couple years ago, I found...
What? Are you on the phone? Sorry about
that. Okay, what were we talking about?
I'll send it to you when we're off.
So we're going
to
start from... So we'll just put this in. Kayla's cast member just pranked her, and I missed it. And I'm sad. Okay, so let's say you're booking lots and lots of gigs, and so the issue after you've started booking very solidly becomes scheduling. And over the last 5 years, I have probably used every different scheduling app available, and now I'm using a combination of Google Cal and ManagerCell. I find you can pump stuff through the ManagerCell app, basically, or not app, but like forms that you can put on your website. And the clients can put in their own information in before they email you, which means that you don't accidentally type in the wrong thing, which is a thing that we ran into a lot where we would type in the wrong name or we would type in the wrong address. If the client types it in, it's much less likely that you're going to make a mistake. So it's valuable to have a service like ManagerCell, which is a client management software, CRM. So if you Google CRM, you'll see that there's like hundreds of different available CRMs. Lots of them are free. Not all of them are free. ManagerCell, I think, is like $10 a month.
Yeah, it's like $99 for the year or something like that.
It's not expensive.
If you do it like a year, it's,
is that what you use as well?
Yeah, I live off of between ManagerCell and iCalendar. I'm a really big Apple person, and so I just like the layout that Apple allows my brain to work within. And so that's ManagerCell. As you said, like if you do stuff in ManagerCell, it has everything. Like it already has drawn up contracts that you can then change and make it. Like it gives you a contract template and just the ability to get e-signatures. You know, when I first started using ManagerCell, I didn't even know what an e-signature was. That wasn't a thing that was readily available. So using ManagerCell to draw up the contracts and invoices and all that and keep everything so well organized and then send it however I need to. So like if I need my tax information for the end of the year, boom, ManagerCell. If I need the client management, like a list, boom, ManagerCell. And then each time something is booked or even just entered into it, I send it immediately to my Apple Calendar, because then it just goes across all of my platforms and I don't have to worry about, you know, the big thing is that the fear of the double booking. I'm very lucky to have rarely done it, and I'm not an organized human, and that's just because of programs like ManagerCell and like the calendar. It's like, oh yes, amazing. There have been a couple of times where I'm like, do I have a wedding next week? Oh, nope. I entered in the wrong year. It's next year. I'm an idiot. And I have to go back in and like make sure. There have been a couple of times I've entered in the wrong address, like the mailing address as opposed to the event date. Mm-hmm. So there are definitely things that like I make the mistake on, but there are ways that, because I know that that's how my brain works, I combat it. And like ManagerCell is one of the ways that really helps me say, as organized as Kayla can possibly stay organized. And I absolutely love managers now.
And for Kayla and I, it's really valuable too because they have the subcontractor element that you can add. So you can book other people. I book a lot of other people. And the thing that I have ran into this year that I did for the first time ever was that I did a different kind of double booking where I booked two performers for an event when I only needed one. Which means that we lost money because, of course, I'm going to pay both those performers. That's my mistake. None of them should suffer. So then I lose out on money on that gig. So that's we did that this year. That was fun. But I'd rather have that kind of double booking than any other kind. And whereas if we had put all the subcontractors into the booking system when we requested them, we would have been fine. So it's important to not just come up with a system, but then religiously dedicate yourself to that system, whatever it is, because it's when you don't do it that you get into trouble. So it doesn't matter if it's Mattress Al or if it's a free app or if it's Google Calendar, whatever your process is, it should be the same every single time for every single client, no matter the size of the gig, because it's always going to be the little baby gigs that get forgotten about. And those gigs are sometimes the ones that matter the most because they don't have like other entertainers, that you're the only thing. So if you mess that up or mix that up, then you're in big trouble and they lose out for Christmas, and that's very sad.
Yeah, you don't want to ruin anybody's holiday.
Mm-hmm, exactly. The other thing is I would recommend is like a little bit of figuring out what is it you need. So for example, right now I'm back in Calgary. And I could stay with friends while I'm here. But instead, I have rented this tiny home Airbnb for the week so that I can sort of spread out, make a mess that is relatively limited. And and I have my sewing machine and my serger set up, but I'm doing a bunch of work here. And I've got my photo shoot. I'm doing this big photo shoot for Lucy tonight. And I can relax. I can make a mess. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about being in someone else's space. The trouble with staying with other people is that I have to be on my best behavior. So knowing that if I'm here, I can kind of make a mess and do whatever I want. And I needed that this week. It was really important. For some people, that's going to be making sure you have coffee every morning. For some people, that's going to be, this is a really great one, hiring a driver. It's not that expensive to, you know, find a friend who could do it, or there are car services, but having a driver on a day where you've got three or four gigs booked to move you from gig to gig is so valuable. In town, when I'm here, I do have an assistant. I have Jeff, and so it's a little bit easier, but I've done it out of town as well. I've done shows in Vancouver where I have like a full day of shows that I've booked, and I'll hire someone to drive me around and just pack up my gear for me and keep an eye on me and keep me fed. Because if you are doing three or four shows in a day, that little bit of time between shows to just sit there instead of trying to drive and looking at your Google Maps and figuring out where you're going becomes crucial for reprogramming your brain and resetting and not taking any of the emotional garbage from the last gig to the next one.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more on that. It's like there are definitely certain things that will stress me out more than others, and one of them is driving. And so yeah, absolutely. I've never hired a driver, but there are definitely times where I've been like, I'm not gonna drive today. Lyft, Uber, please. Mm-hmm. So that's really great. It's just sort of understanding like what is it that you need for your best gig. Like I know I always have water and coffee, like always at my grasp. I've got to have both of those things. And sometimes when I don't have one of those things, I know I don't feel well. And I'm like, oh, why? What's wrong with my head or my body? Oh, it's because I haven't had enough of insert either hydration or caffeine here. And so it's just about making sure that you know what you need. Obviously, there are plenty of stories we could share where we are not in our right mind or physical ability to do an event, but you know, you do it anyway. But it's just about trying to make sure that you are your best for these events. So like staying organized. I also, I'm sure everybody does this, ideally. If you don't do this, I really recommend it. As a non-organized human, of which I am, I cannot recommend enough putting together some sort of list of all of the things that you need at an event, right? So I have this big Excel spreadsheet, and each section is sectioned off per routine. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do what routines am I doing today? This, this, and this, and this. And then I print off those. And it, in my Excel spreadsheet, it says, okay, routine, date night. What do I need? Four envelopes. And then I need envelopes. I need four of them. And then I need four extras. And then I make sure that I mark off everything that I have, look at it on the floor. I just put everything on the floor and then I pack it all into my carrying case. And that way, if I forget something, then wow, I would have had to have really been in some weird ability to have forgotten it. Like, I don't want to get to a gig and go, do you have a table I could borrow? Yeah. You know, yeah, that is exactly. The worst thing in the world is going there, charging a lot of money, and then going, could I please borrow?
Yeah, can you go get things? Me? Yeah, if there's something that you're going to need at the event, it should be in your rider so that when you show up, you're not surprising them with anything. And I have a few weird things in my rider if I'm flying somewhere, but typically I try to walk in with everything I need. My version of what Kayla does with her checklist is we do have printed checklists for everything for if somebody else is packing my bag. But what I do is I build cases that have slots for everything. So my 40-minute show fits into this one case and there are little compartments for everything, which means that when I'm packing it, I can look down and see if something's missing. And so it is a very quick visual checklist because there will be an empty hole in the bag. It gets packed the same way. There are separate sections and compartments for everything. If something is missing, I know in 2 seconds. And so for me, that's just a quicker way. But having that printed out backup checklist is super important as well, because it will also show you how your show evolves and how you need more or less stuff over time. And you might be able to go, oh, this thing I've added is not essential, so I can take it out. On this train, speaking of tables, so I travel with a collapsible table that I built myself. And I was traveling with a 35-40 minute show, and I just added a couple of routines. So now the show I'm traveling with is about an hour, and I wanted it to fit in the same case. But I realized that with my new show, I need another table. And so the last time I did the show, I borrowed one, but that was because I was at the lounge. So I'm not going to always have that luxury. And I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do to be able to have that extra table? So Kayla and I have both gotten the away bags. I
hate you so much for this idea, by the way. So, I hate and love you so much.
I took a bit of foam core, like some heavy-duty foam core, and I built a top piece for it with some feet so that it raises it up over the handle. And then I built basically a very snug pillowcase tablecloth cloth that slides over the whole thing, that locks it all into position, and has a fringe on the bottom. Because the bag is so square, it just looks like a table. I'll post the picture of this on our – well, we'll post on the Instagram, but we'll also post it in the show notes. So now basically my way bag, which is what I store my full 1 hour show in, is now also the other table. And because it's unbreakable plastic, it's really strong and secure. It can hold quite a bit of weight, and because it's got 4 wheels, it can wheel on stage just like my other table has wheels. So it's kind of perfect. So I built matching covers for both of them, and they just look so smart and sexy, and I'm very happy right now.
Just so you know, I am absolutely stealing this idea.
No, steal it. I wouldn't have told you if I didn't want you to steal. Everybody steal this idea. All of the people listening, I will take pictures of how I made it if you want. It's so great. And it doesn't need to be as fancy as what I made, but I am fancy. So
we're also still trying to get away luggage to throw us some sponsorship. So this would just be part of that adventure. It's like, look at what we did.
Apparently they listened to the last episode. I did send them an email being like, we love you. Did you listen?
Oh, that's great. Amazing. Yeah. I swear, like, being in a sense, I've been on the road for about 2.5 months. We were performing in LA, so I got to go home for a week, which is where I picked up a whole set of away luggage. Carry-on, big checked bag, day pack, because the backpacks just don't exist anymore. Too many people wanted them. And I know we've spoken about it already, but now that I've had the opportunity to really live literally out of my luggage, I cannot value the make of this luggage anymore. Like, first of all, laundry bag, didn't even think about it. I was just putting it into another section of my suitcase and then like, oh yeah, this is the laundry. Like, that's how my mind works, is whatever, I'll figure it out. But this laundry bag, because it fits just right in there. Mm-hmm. And there's a pouch in the back for like shoes or things that you don't want touching your clothes. Like, I put my travel coffee cup in there, and it was just everything with like, then the divider, and then you cinch the divider so it squishes your clothes.
It's amazing.
Guys, you have to get away luggage, genuinely. Also, the wheels. Ugh. The wheels.
Every time I'm in an airport I run into another traveler, I just whip it around so that it does that like full 360 tour, and I'm like, that's 50 pounds. That's 50 pounds making a full circle. Anyway, we are, for the record, we are not sponsored by Away.
No, we just genuinely but I've been rolling things. It on carpet. I've been rolling it down sidewalks. I've been rolling it everywhere. It has been on the underneath a tour bus, on the back of a tour bus, on a truck with other magic show props. And it is, God, they are perfect. Literally, like, I now don't understand how I lived without them. And now... it's a table.
Now it's a table, Kayla. Yep. I got to market this. I have to, like, build this, like, this cover and be like, it's $40 for a cover that goes on your Away bag. And not, no, I don't. I won't. I don't have that kind of get up and go. Just
Let's I'll get just the sponsorship first.
I will just draw out a pattern and then I will email it to people and be like, here's the pattern I made. You can just have it because that's more my personality.
That's much more your style of business.
Yeah. I'm just give people things for free and then, you know, whatever. Speaking of giving things for free and being a bad businesswoman, we should do like a legit plug, which is that I've been running a thing called Bubble University for the last 6 months, and Amaze Kids has launched a co-production with it. So you can either buy it from Amaze Kids or from me. If you already have an Amaze Kids account, then that's going to be faster or easier for you. You can get your Bubble University through them. We are just wrapping up the program, so rather than week to week, all the lessons will be available moving forward. And then every month we're going to be creating new videos for new stuff, and the resource is just going to constantly grow. So you pay one price for your membership, and then you have access forever.
It's amazing.
And you can have a whole new product. You can put Bubble Show stuff in your regular Kids Magic show, or you can put it in your – do a whole new show. It's totally up to you. Anyway, that's my only plug. That is a sponsor because I do make money from that. And let's continue. Happy holidays, you guys. We're going to talk about
holidays.
Eating on the road is our next topic. Which is very tough. Yeah. And I think that if you're doing a Christmas season, even if you're going home every night, it's very hard to cook. So you're just living like you're on the road. And a couple of very simple rules for eating on the road makes a big difference. Kayla, do you have any like good tips? Because you've been on the road a long time now.
Yeah, I mean, I have very specific dietary restrictions that I don't always get to follow, to be honest. It's like I don't eat gluten or dairy. Meat, and I do my best to stay as far away from sugar as I possibly can because I know that those things affect me terribly and will affect then the show and my ability to do three shows a day. And so that's always really difficult. And so I do have to sort of pick and choose on like how much of everything can I have before it really starts affecting me. So one thing is that the Happy Cow app is really beneficial. So it's a vegan app that tells you what restaurants are around that are vegan or even just vegetarian. It's like $4 on the App Store. I really recommend it. It's really helpful to find like healthier places to eat. And unfortunately, you can't always – like we were just in Corbin, Kentucky. Do you know what they don't have in Corbin, Kentucky? Things that aren't made with fried chicken. Just like it was impossible. So it was a lot of like, even if I remember looking at the map and like what was around, and what was around was literally a gas station and an Applebee's. And I just went to the gas station and bought a giant bag of nuts, almonds, cashews, like whatever. And that's always really great. It's just sort of finding out what I can and cannot eat and then trying to figure out what's around to do that. I definitely have had to cheat occasionally. There's a pizza. But every place you could go to eat, you can always sort of ask to customize. It's not going to be perfect. Like the pizza is going to, you know, be pizza crust, but I can get it without cheese. It's just really like I for a while was really afraid to ask for customizations, but then I started feeling terrible and not being able to do the show to the best of my ability. And that's when all of a sudden I really had to learn to make sure I'm asking for what I need to be able to feel at my best. And so now I kind of have no shame going into a restaurant going, I'm gonna literally customize an order.
Yeah. It's done. So important because it builds up over time as well. Like if, you know, it's one thing to have a cheat meal, but it's another thing if you're living like this, it gets to you eventually. Along with what Kayla is saying, a couple of like, you know, backup plans. In America, White Castles are usually 24 hours and they have the Impossible Slider now, which can be made vegan. And then in Canada, there is the Beyond Meat at A&W, that can also be made vegan. And those are both really delicious, fantastic, pretty good for you because it's all plant-based proteins. And so the one in Canada, the A&W one, is also gluten-free. So it's a...
Oh, yeah, no way.
It's a totally gluten-free. I didn't know that. Yeah, so you can get it... because Miranda is also gluten-free. So you can get it in a lettuce wrap with all the vegetables and the sauces that are gluten-free with the Impossible... Or no, I guess that one's the Beyond Meat one, and it's totally gluten-free and vegan. And it's open 24 hours. So if you're stuck on the road and you're getting home at 1 in the morning, there's some place to eat, and it's the same thing with White Castle. I don't think the White Castle one is gluten-free, but the A&W one is, and I think that one's coming to America. I did a test run in the Canadian locations, and we'll see if America gets it. But things like that, like knowing what places have kind of made that transition and what crazy things you can have in some of the 24-hour locations. I know I have a couple of like hack orders, like you know, drive-through hacks that I can get from Tim Hortons in Canada, which are vegetarian food that's pretty healthy. And they don't love me on the ordering because it's very, very custom. But it's fine. They have the buttons in their system. They can do it. And some quick rules for me is that I don't order fries and I don't drink soft drinks. That's not 100% of the time, but as close to 100% of the time as possible. So if I am stuck and all I have access to is fast food, I'm going to try and get an Impossible Slider or a Beyond Meat Burger, ideally from A&W. And I'm going to get it with no fries and no soft drink. I will just get it with either like a salad if they have that option like that, and water or something like that. If I'm going to eat junk, I'm going to limit how much junk I'm going to eat. I don't get chips on the road. I don't eat candy. You know, so I've eliminated a lot of these like impulsy things, and I've replaced them with things like, you know, mixed nuts and dried fruit, which are still sweet and savory. But a lot of the time dried fruit is just as bad for you as candy. But it doesn't make my brain go, we're eating garbage today. Because if I eat a piece of candy, sometimes my brain will just want to write off the whole day and then I'll just want cupcakes. But if I eat dried fruit, I'll be able to motivate myself to eat a salad later. So being really careful on the road about your habits and making little choices, because if it's the little things you do every day that make the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. We've also, being on the road here, there's a lot of use of Uber Eats. And just like sometimes there's just nothing within walking distance, or it's late at night or whatever. And Uber Eats as well, you can say, I have these dietary restrictions. Mm-hmm. And that's really helpful. So I'll put in everything, like all of my dietary restrictions. And then if nothing comes up, then I'll eliminate like, okay, you know what? I haven't had gluten in like a week, so I think I can handle that. Let me take off gluten-free. Oh, look at all the things that are here. and so, yeah, it does. I also, because as mentioned, need water and coffee more than I do food. I have one of those $2 Starbucks now sells the reusable $2 coffee cups. And again, $2, right? Reusable, washable, dishwasher safe. And then I always have that. I have a container of coffee grinds and coffee filters. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, I'm set to go. All I need really is some hot water. And you can probably find that anywhere. So like I always have coffee, water bottle, always just ready to refill at all times. And like those are the two things. And then usually it's like somewhere around there's some mixed bag of nuts, which means that if I'm on the go, like one of the worst things is when you are on the go and all of a sudden it is 4 p.m. and you've gone, oh my God, I forgot to eat.
Yep.
I forgot food today. Oh my God. And we all do it. It's just, you know, you wake up and your mind just starts going and all of a sudden you're like, I feel terrible. Oh, you need a vegetable. And even at like McDonald's and, I'm sure there's a grocery store that's going to be around somewhere, is that they all have like, you know, those snacky carrots and celery sticks that you can get. There's tons of stuff. Even at McDonald's, you can get a salad, which is really great. It's just something. When that 24-hour adventure hits and it's 2 a.m. and you're getting home and you're like, I'm so hungry.
It's all about like not seeing the McDonald's logo and giving up, because I think that's what happens. That was what happened to me for years, is that I'd go, there's nothing open. I'm going to have to eat fast food. And then I would go and my brain would just shut off. I would just be like, whatever, I'll just eat whatever because I'm already frustrated. But knowing that you can hack a lot of the fast food places and some of them have some more healthy options, and if you don't get the french fries and you don't get the drink, you're already a lot better. I also travel with a coffee cup and a pour over coffee maker and filters and coffee grinds. But Kayla,
yes,
I also travel with a very small hand grinder that I got from my local coffee shop, which is like collapsible and really amazing. Do you want me to bring you one for Christmas?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to make a note of that. I've had it for about a year and a half, and it makes a huge difference. If you're Kayla and I are just the most pretentious people right now, but if you're actually grinding your own coffee beans, because first of all, you can get better coffee in the beans than you can get coffee grounds, and then the smell doesn't escape.
Yes, you can. Okay. People don't understand that. Yes, you can. That would be so preferred. The other day, I went and I bought. I don't even remember. I think we were in Dallas, and I went and I bought a whole bag because we were staying in these apartments. They're called Stay Alfred, by the way. If nobody's heard of them, this is amazing. So they're called Stay Alfred Apartments. And basically, they're like Airbnbs, but they're like Airbnb meets a hotel because you can't technically Airbnb if you have like – what are the rules? Like you can't have like a big property and Airbnb out all these places. So it's basically just a corporate company that has done the best of both. So they buy out a floor or two of a hotel or an apartment building, and then you rent out these apartments. And they're like basically IKEA-made style apartments, but they have a kitchen and everything. And I went and bought coffee and everything, and I was whole bean coffee. And I was livid because I didn't have a coffee grinder. And so I did walk back to the store and was like, could you please grind my coffee for me? And they did. And it was amazing.
Kayla, you're
going to
be so happy. It's even got like a little thingy in it so you can change the grind, like how thick or coarse. And it's totally powerless. It's just a little hand grinder. It's so great. It's so great. I will bring you one. And it fits into my coffee cup because it's small. So I can fit it into my coffee cup on the road if I want to save space. Yeah. Yeah, I'm that person. I've been traveling with a pour over coffee machine. But here's the thing, it's the only thing.
But it also saves you money.
It saves me money. It doesn't take up that much room. A pour over is very small. It's a very small little unit. It doesn't take up any power. But also, I'm not always in a situation where I have access to like going to get coffee. I don't drive. I don't have a car with me. So it's tough.
Yesterday we performed basically on a college campus, and I posted a picture of it actually on my Instagram, whereas there were six Starbuckses and then about five other local coffee shops, and every single one of them was closed. Because college wasn't happening. Everybody was on break. So everywhere around, even food was shut down.
Oh my goodness.
So I was like, how do I function? Oh, I have coffee.
Yeah. And
now,
I think part
now
of
I
it
can
too
function
is,
my day.
It's that self-care thing of you're doing a lot of shows. It's holiday season. You're going from gig to gig to gig to gig to gig. I love having a familiar thing. And for me, that's a cup of pour-over coffee that I know is going to be good in my mug, in my spill-proof, leak-proof mug. That's what I want. And I think it's okay to give yourself permission to have like one or two little luxuries, little things that you're going to be like, nope, I'm not compromising on this. I need this. I have to go be nice to a bunch of different groups of kids, and only 80% of those kids are going to deserve it because the rest of them are going to be privileged, terrible kids. I would say that's the ratio. I would say 20% of the shows I do, the little kids are like frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. I also, just in terms of like self-care, there are sort of two things that I found really beneficial for me. One is like the whole eating healthy and going to the gym. Also, I learned from being on this tour is that gyms will offer day passes either for free or for like $10 or $15. So that's really awesome, is to be able to like, it will cost you a little bit of money, but at least you can go to a gym and work out. And if not, there you can certainly do something just in a room, in your hotel room, or you know, wherever you are, go for a big walk or something. Like I'm trying really diligently to like at least do something physical every single day that isn't just a show. But the other thing that really makes me happy is that when I come into, I realize how, again, very pretentious this sounds. When I come into my dressing room, that sounds very pretentious, and often like this is not the case for most magicians, but this is the case for my current life. I love it. When I come into my dressing room, there are a couple of things that I decorate my dressing room. Not decorate. I'm not very artsy, but I have a couple of things, which is I have on my door, our production technician, he bought me this little sign that says, "Wizards welcome, Muggles tolerated."
Oh,
Harry Potter.
Cute.
And
Yes, it's he. We are both big Harry Potter fans, so he bought me that one today. So that hangs on my door. And then I have these two magnets that hold up this very adorable drawing that one of the performers once made me that just made me very happy coming into my dressing room.
We'll have
seeing.
To put a picture in the
I will.
In the thing.
Yes. So I have this yelly man that I thought I had gotten rid of, but then like we had some time off and I came back into my case and there he was. So I was like, well, he's going to stay forever. And then I have two magnets. One is from the Golden Girls. And it says, have I given you any indication at all that I care? And it's just a picture of Sophia.
Oh,
and then she
God,
sits next
Sophia.
To the Wonder Woman logo.
Oh, and that's all so like just, stuff that packs flat. It takes up no space in your luggage.
It takes up no space. And what it does is when I get to put it up into my dressing room, it makes me feel – it makes it feel rather homey.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're like away so much and missing home or missing like sort of in a sense – you know, we've spoken about this before, but like I have to have some place to call home because it feels like an identity for me. That's just me personally. But when I'm on the road and we're on the road so much, it's like there are just certain things that I want so that it feels quite homey. And those are sort of the things that I now have where it just feels like, oh, this is my space. This is Kayla's space. This is, you know, I can shut my door and do whatever's necessary, or I can open it and have fun with everyone. But I get to come back and like see these things that go, ah, yeah, this is triggering the fact that I'm like self-care, home. This is lovely.
Yeah, perfect. That's amazing. And the other thing that I've had recently, or I guess in the last year that has been very changing, is I used to use just like whatever makeup that I could get and whatever palettes that came into it. Then I was looking up online and I'm like, there's got to be a better way to pack my makeup and take it on the road rather than having 1,000 little cases that don't fit together. I found Z palettes. Let's Google it to make sure I'm looking at the right thing. Makeup, Z palette. Is this the right thing? Yes. So a Z palette is basically a palette that allows you to pop out your makeup from the current package and instead put it into one flat pack case, which is super valuable because then you're not in a situation. Yeah, so you don't have to carry all your little pieces. You can have just what you need. And the cool thing that I have run into is that it lasts a little bit longer in that case because it's not getting jostled around. It's one case and I can be more careful about that one case, so it's less likely to get smashed. And I've also learned how to repress a palette using rubbing alcohol. So now when a palette breaks, I can always repress one. I just gave one to Miranda that was a little bit smaller and had a mirror in it, and she uses less makeup than I do. That would probably be the one that you want, and it's a little bit more hardcore, a little bit more rough and tumble. I have the larger Z palette because I do character work, so I need more. And then I've also found that a lot of makeup companies will sell you just the makeup in the little tin instead of like just a refill, instead of a whole piece of garbage that you have to pop it out of and then also carry with you, because half of what you're carrying is the plastic that's covering it. So if you can put everything in the same case, it makes a huge difference. So the Z palettes have been amazing. I think Uni makeup, I'm just gonna Google it, Uni makeup storage. Yeah, the Uni makeup palette is the little bit more hardcore one that is a little smaller. And it's fantastic. It's just a little thing, but knowing that you can open up your makeup and not having it smashed or it all over the place or it take up a ton of room is a big deal for me.
Yeah. I got one of those, and this is definitely more of a Kayla brain thing, is I got one of those makeup cases that you can cinch and it just kind of squishes everything up, and then you can uncinch it and it's all just there for you. And I love it because it's literally, I just look at it and I'm like, how do I start this day? Boom, 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 boom. And I love sort of opening up to a big mess of makeup. Not mess, like nothing's smashed, nothing's broken or anything, but it's just the idea. Because it's because it becomes so compact. I also carry it in my backpack. I don't like put it on a truck or anything, or like in luggage. It's on my person. But because it's cinched up so much, it like doesn't rough and tumble, so it's not breaking. I've never had anything break in there. But I love
great.
That it's just like whoop, whoop, and it fits. It is fairly-ish flat for the amount of makeup that you could put in it. I have so much in there. I just love being able to open it up and being like, look at all this. And then whoop, closed again, and it's gone.
That is so perfect.
It is the greatest makeup case.
To me, it's like your exact personality. It's like, yep. Yeah, it's all in a pile, and then it gets cinched up, and then it's done.
That is exactly
accurate.
It's like
the perfect Kayla palette.
Yep, exactly.
So, Kayla, I wanted to share a couple of, like, fun holiday stories of, like, crazy adventures that we went on. So this is both a this is a bad good Christmas story, I suppose. This is a story of me being an idiot. So in Canada, when you're doing Christmas gigs, you also have to contend with snow so intense and winter storms so intense that it's very common that people will roll their cars, and it is possible you might die. So that's the kind of gigs you're doing in Canada. I was on this illusion show.
What a sacrifice for the art.
Right? So I'm doing this illusion show. We had rented a truck, and we had put our trailer on the back of it. This is when I was doing, like, a lot of big shows. And it was me and another magician and our two assistants in the back. And we're driving out. We go to Saskatchewan, and we're doing this show for this little company. And we have not been given an address. We've been given GPS coordinates, which should have been our first sign that this is terrible. We're driving, and we're starting to run out of gas because the headwind is such that we're going through twice as much gas as we thought. But there is no gas station because we're in Saskatchewan, and there's just nothing for miles and miles and miles, and it is midnight. Because also it's taken us twice as long to drive because there's crazy headwinds. So we run out of gas. We always had a little canister in the back with just a little bit more fuel, but it's only going to get us, like, a little bit further. So we run out of gas, and we have no cell phone reception. We're freaking out, and all of a sudden, this cop car pulls up. And from this small town, he goes, "Are you guys okay?" "Yep, we're okay, but we're running out of gas." "Don't worry, I'll call Bob." So he calls Bob, who runs a gas station that's just down into the town a little bit, and wakes him up from his sleep at midnight. He goes in and opens his shop. We pour a little bit of gas in the gas tank. This is why it's a good story, because everything was fine. We pour a little bit of gas in the gas tank. We make it there. We fill up. So they're filling up. It's freezing outside. It's like minus 32, which is, what is that in American?
Cold.
It's very cold. It's colder than most people have ever been in, and it's windy, and it's terrible. And we're delusional because we've been driving for hours. We've been so stressed out, and so everybody's inside. And then I see this beautiful fox wandering around outside. And I go, "Oh," Bob, you know, who's filling up our gas tank, who's being very, very generous, notices this fox. And he goes, "Ah, don't worry, that's my pet." Okay.
No, Bob, no.
Okay, here's the thing.
Bob.
He also has a thing of dog biscuits by the door that I assume, and rightly assume, are for the fox. So if you told me you have a pet fox, I would think what you meant is that you have a pet fox. So I took the dog biscuits because I'm Carissa Hendricks and I think I'm a Disney princess. And I went outside into the blistering cold and knelt down and held my hand open for this fox who zigzagged around me and ran around. And I didn't get scared because I'm like, this is a pet. I held my hand out and slowly he came towards me and he took the biscuit out of my hand. But he took it so fast that he kind of nipped me a little bit, but not enough to break the skin, but just a little bit. And I went, ooh, and I reacted. And he reacted to me reacting and ran off into the forest. And I'm like, I have had such a beautiful interaction with this fox. He was so sweet. Like, he got really close to me, and he was really adorable. And I look back, and I can see the rest of my cast behind the glass door of the gas station, and the looks on their faces. They are white as ghosts, and they are screaming through the glass, "Get out of there!" So I run into the building, and I'm like, "Did you see what happened?" And they were like, "Yeah, we saw you be a moron." And Bob, the guy who owns the gas station, goes, "You stupid idiot!" I'm like, "You said it was your pet. What are you..." Apparently, by pet, he meant, that is a fox that I throw dog biscuits at into the forest to get to go away from the gas station. And he meant it as a joke. So I almost got mauled by a wild fox in the middle of the winter. And then we went off, we did the show. It was a great show. It was the town we went to had 12 buildings in the whole town. One of them was the curling rink. And we did our show on the ice of the curling rink. That had, like, a little canvas mat on it. Yep, that was the show. But I will say it was one of the best shows I've ever done. I was hilarious. It was years ago. And it was a show that was sort of transformative for me because I ended up doing a lot of the talking and a lot of the, I did a lot of improv in that show, which is now very present in my work. And they were just so interested in the improv that I ended up just, you know, talking to people and doing more stand-up-y stuff. And it really affected my work moving forward.
I just thought, what about you, Kayla? I love the confidence you had going into that situation because you were just like, clearly, this is all the information I need. I need to go approach this wild animal to know that that man feeds it.
Well, but it's Canada. I've pet baby bears. I've pet baby wolves that were people's pets. Like, I have been in environments where it has been safe to snuggle and cuddle wild beasts that are not wild. I feel this was a completely reasonable misunderstanding.
I totally agree. Next time I'm at a gas station in the middle of a snowstorm, I will feel full confidence to do whatever I feel is necessary. That's what I've learned today.
I hope not. I hope that's not what you're learning. Kayla, do you have a good Christmas gig story?
Yeah, so I'm going to start out this story. It's going to seem like it's really terrible, but it's actually a very positive story. So basically, about this time last year, I get a call from my friend Joel Ward, who's a wonderful magician in Los Angeles, saying that an agent wants to book him and myself for this event in Memphis, Tennessee. It's a sponsored event for the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. So basically all these children who are ill or terminally ill, and it's you know, they're having obviously a rough go, they get to come and have this event given for them where there's it feels like it's, you know, this theme was Winter Wonderland. So it's this amazing, like, it's got Christmas trees and snow and activities, books and characters, and they get to see a show. And it's really very magical and lovely. And when you think about, like, the fact that these kids might have not left their hospital room for some amount of time, and then you get to go and bring a little bit of happiness into their day, it's really lovely, especially as it's the holidays, but just in general, like, it was a really lovely honor to be able to do this. However, leading up to that moment of discovery of going, wow, this is really absolutely great, it was not a good time. So basically, the theme was Winter Wonderland. Joel and I were asked to do 2 30-minute sets of strolling and said, no problem. And they were paying way more money than I could have actually expected, including travel and everything. So I said, yes, of course, I will not turn this down. I
mean, especially for a charity gig.
Yeah, it was because it's sponsored through Target, they were able to pay whatever is necessary to bring in like actually viable talent. And if you had seen the production value, they had a dance team that choreographed this beautiful ballet and actors, and it's what a production. It was really wonderful. You walk into the room and you're just immediately in this Winter Wonderland Nutcracker-esque atmosphere. So Target did a really good job creating this event. So Joel and I got brought in to do the 2 strolling sets. Then they asked us, after the contract is signed and everything, I get a call from the agent that asks if I wouldn't mind wearing a costume, which for Kayla – it's just generally a no. Just a flat out. Yeah,
that's
usually
going to be a no.
No. Is it a jumpsuit? Will I be wearing a onesie? Because that'll wear.
Am I dressed as a air traffic control? Because that is the outfit I'm comfortable in.
I would just love to have to do a show where I'm acting as if I'm asleep the entire time. Let's do that show. So
that should be a quote on your website.
I say, okay, what kind of
book me? I want to be
because of the amount of money, which is why I mentioned the amount of money. Because the amount of money I already felt was so much that I was stealing from them. I said, okay, let's discuss this costume. It's for the children, they kept saying. So they said Joel and I are going to play the Ice King and Queen. So they wanted me to get in a sense like this Elsa-like costume from Frozen. So I said, okay, a couple of very simple stipulations. One, I don't mind it being a big ball gown. No problem. I just want to be able to wear my own shoes because I'm walking around. So it's important that I can move comfortably in those shoes. I'm willing to sacrifice the comfort of wearing pants for a big ball gown. I think it could be fun.
But the sleeves themselves need to either be short sleeved or they need to be tight around my wrist because I don't want anything interfering with my hands when doing close up. And then lastly, there can be nothing on my head. I said I will consider wearing like a small tiara. But other than that, like no wig, I don't want a crown because I have to be moving my head all over the place that I need to make sure I can perform correctly. So great. Everything's agreed upon. They've got this amazing costume designer. Get to the venue. You know, we fly out in Memphis, Tennessee. Joel and I get to the venue for the tech rehearsal, which we're not quite sure why we need to be there for the tech rehearsal to do 30 minutes worth of strolling. Well, then we found out because what they thought we were doing was the 30 minutes of strolling. And then we were – because there was a show. So there were dancers and actors and it was like a little bit of a story. They thought we were going to open the show with a three-minute act to music.
Oh, my goodness.
So they had already programmed in the music to the video for us to do this three-minute act. Joel and I have never heard the music. We did not know any of this information and certainly didn't bring an act. So we did have to, you know, basically I took out my contract and it's like, this is what you've booked me for. You've booked me for 30 minutes worth of strolling. There's not even the discussion of a costume in there. Like, I'm, you know, this is crazy. And they said, but it's for the children.
It's for the children, it's Kayla.
For the children. Fine. So, okay. So Joel and I decide to take it upon ourselves. We create this three-minute act to music with whatever we could find. Mouth coils, snowstorms, streamers, just anything we could find. And we put together, I think, what is the world's worst act to music, magic act to music ever. There's no way it was good. But
clearly you are overselling it.
I had a wand and I like waved it over a book and then pulled a mouth coil out of the book. It was outrageous. It is. There's got. I don't think there's video of it. But if there is,
there needs to be video.
Oh, terrible. So we're rehearsing this act, et cetera, et cetera. Comes time to try on the costumes. Joel's costume is wonderful. It is nothing like he asked for. There are no pockets. The pants are white and tight, so he can't put anything in the pockets, even just a deck of cards or something, a sponge ball. So it is a tough costume for him. For me, it was the big ball gown. The sleeves were full-length sleeves that then overhanged over my hand to be equally as poofy as the skirt. So basically, I had no hands. Like, there was no hope of me grabbing things. There was nothing there. So the costume designer was great. He like fixed up the sleeves for me so that I could do something. And then as he's talking about the sleeves, he goes, do you want to try on the crown and the wig?
No. And oh, no.
That's when I just mentally collapsed and said, Kayla, no, I cannot.
For the children.
It was terrible. So I somehow compromised to wear the crown, but the crown was not a tiara. The crown was like I had washed my hair and then got hung upside down in the Canadian winter and icicles fell off my head for an hour. And that was my crown. So it was a good, maybe 8 to 10 inches high without exaggeration, eight inches or so. It was not a joke. They had to pin it hardcore to my head because it kept moving. And then Joel and I did these two shows, opening the show for these children. And the entire time my insides are twisting and turning with anger and frustration that like I'm not putting on a good product and I have to wear this costume that I knew was hindering my performance. And I am not an ice queen, just flat out. Like, let's talk about that. At no point did they go, you know what, Kayla, you know, you would be really good at Disney Princess. Sing a song, learn a lesson, fall in love. That's you. That's definitely you. No, do you know what I have been told? Kayla, you're a lot like that evil queen girl that turns into a dragon and gets killed at the end.
Oh, no.
No, I take it. I embrace it. I will gladly and forever and always be Maleficent. and so that is absolutely – I was shocking that I even got through this. But what really got me through it was while we were performing and being terrible – you're just watching these kids' faces light up as like a mouth coil comes from a book or we produced a silk fountain because somehow Joel had a silk fountain on him. And so we did all of this stuff, and you watch the kids. They were loving it, especially when then the dancers came on and did a beautiful Nutcracker-esque style dance where like these dolls turned to life. And it was just a really like very fun, magical experience to watch these kids get to leave whatever crappy stuff they were having to deal with in their health and come and hang out with us for an afternoon. So it ended up being a really lovely, lovely time. And I know what the question is. Yes, there is a photo. Are there pictures?
Yes! Oh my goodness. We have to post it on somewhere on Shazam because, you know, Kayla, it's a Christmas present for our fans. You have to post it.
It's for the children.
It's for the children,
oh,
Kayla.
Oh, no. I'm so sad. Yes, I will post it. It's a picture of all of us. So I will throw Joel under the bus. I will absolutely post a picture of him as well. So the two of us, it's everybody that was in the show. So you'll see, at least you'll see the crown.
Terrible. I'm so excited. I am more excited to see this photo than I am about almost anything else about Christmas except for seeing Bowie. That is the only thing I'm more excited about than seeing this photo.
Bowie's already seen this photo, so he's just excited to see you.
Oh, that's nice.
Amazing. Oh, so yeah. Great.
So thank you for joining us for this very special holiday episode of Shazam. And remember, you are not a Disney princess. Do not pet wild animals. I am a fool. I should be dead.